What if the CIA orchestrated the 9/11 attacks? What if MI5 knew about the 7/7 bombings? And what if the world's not really run by who we think it is, but in fact a small, select group of people who hide in the shadows? And as I was saying before, what if Diana was killed by the authorities? Alex Jones is a national US radio presenter from Infowars.com. Alex joins me now. Alex?
It's good to be here, Mr. Will. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, Alex. Answer the question, my friend. What if? What if all of these things, Alex? What if it was all happening and you were absolutely right? What hope is there for the future, Alex?
Well, the hope is that governments have actually always done this throughout history. For anyone that's researched and has a basic grasp of history, and the people always rise up against it, and we're really in the middle of a cycle going into a very decadent period right now. But earlier this year in June, I traveled to the capital of Canada, Ottawa, where 125 world leaders were meeting. The Queen of the Netherlands, David Rockefeller, the Queen of England's representative, the Rothschilds, they were all there, and they are openly pushing for one world government. The United States entered the North American Union last year. I've been talking about it for 10 years, and it's finally broken in major newspapers and on national television here, and the people are incredibly angry. So much of what was, quote, a conspiracy theory 12, 14 years ago when I first got on air is now being admitted to. In fact, I heard you earlier. I was tuned in here waiting, and you were talking about all the illegal aliens, all the foreigners, all the folks that are, many of them involved in crime, and why is the government doing nothing about them? Well, that's how they're going to bring down the Western world. It's an official U.S. and British government documents. They're going to flood our countries with foreigners to destroy the national will, to destroy the national culture, and to bring in their one world government. We have...
Hang on.
We have 30 million illegal aliens here in the U.S.
Hang on. We don't even know how many illegal aliens we have over here because nobody counts them, and how can they find them? But the problem is, what is it, what's in it for the government? It can't be all those guys who are involved in this. It can only be a few, surely. Why are so many people who, once they get into politics, why do they become so stupid and so ignorant?
Well, a lot of people look at our education system here in the U.S. It's taken us from the most highly educated people just 50 years ago to being the most uneducated in test scores, the stupidest in the industrialized world, plus we're about 35 places behind third world nations. The government isn't stupid. This is being done by design. I've interviewed the former head of the Department of Education here who quit when she found out in the mid-80s the plan was to dumb down our population. So on the surface, we think the government wants to do good, so it, quote, looks like they're stupid when they screw everything up. But in reality, the New World Order calls it order out of chaos. We say, well, wait a minute. Flooding the country with crime, destroying its sovereignty, getting all these people on the dole, on welfare. This isn't good for the taxpayers. You know, why don't they do sensible things? Sensible things don't expand their power. The New World Order is multinational. It's bigger than any country. It's greater than even empire. It is multinational corporations of 100 biggest economies. 45 of them are now corporations. They have combined together to go in and buy off the leadership of governments, and then bring in this one world government, one world taxation, one world military, one world law, and all of that is now developing, and to scare the public into submission, to coddle in the arms under the black wings of government, criminal elements, small criminal elements of government, most government individuals are good people, they're compartmentalized and ignorant like the rest of us, government is staging terror attacks to stampede us into accepting loss of liberty in the setup of this cashless society police state control grid.
All right, Alex, tell me, you know, there are many, many conspiracy theories. I've already had an email from a guy who said, don't call Alex Jones a conspiracy theorist. He speaks the truth. Now, you may well do, Alex, we don't know, but there are loads of conspiracy theories around 9/11 on the net. And people, I suppose, we've been flooded with information to confuse everybody. But what good is this going to do? What do they hope to achieve? They're going to try and bring this world into a nuclear war if they carry on this way.
Well, let me walk through this then, because you brought up really a central point here. But let's go back to history first. Why in 1933 did Adolf Alois Hitler firebomb his own government building, his own parliament, his own Reichstag. He did that to then crack down, set up police state pieces of legislation to send his brown shirts and his SS out there to smash any political opposition. He then made himself chancellor and president and made himself then Führer. So that's why Hitler did that. Then in 1939, we all think Hitler just attacked Poland one morning. No, he had to have a way to sell the German people. This is declassified, totally admitted. In 1939, the SS went and took two concentration camp victims. They shot them in the head, dressed them up in Polish soldier uniforms. They're at the border radio relay station, claimed that the Polish military had attacked the Germans. They put it on newsreels, and then the Reich went into Poland, kicking off World War II. So there's two very old examples from the last century. Here are some more modern examples. In 1953, and mind you, this is all totally and completely, this is the reason I was the first person to go public on 9/11 even before it happened and on the day of the event, because I was aware of all this. This is all verifiable to your listeners who have access to CIA.gov, who have access to the Library of Congress, who have access to the British Royal Societies and all of their different historical societies. This is all mainstream. It's just never in your newspaper. In 1953, Mohammad Mossadegh had been elected 2 years before. He was Man of the Year in Time magazine, trained in the West, in England and in France, pro-America, pro-England. But he said, listen, we're not colonial anymore. We're going to keep 25% of our oil. British Petroleum and other U.S. oil companies, along with the British, went and hired the CIA section chief, Kermit Roosevelt, and Stormin Norman's father, the general, General Schwarzkopf, and they bragged about this. Their after-action reports to 10 Downing Street and to the White House, Pennsylvania Avenue, are public at CIA.gov. They went in with about $50 million and in just a matter of months paid off the military. They then staged terror attacks, blowing up mosques, shooting police in the streets, shooting civilians. They then printed up tens of thousands of handbills saying that Mossadegh had done it and proclaiming it as if it was good. Sure, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you can read this, because as you probably know, we think we have freedom of information in the United Kingdom. We actually don't.
Yeah, with the D notices and all the rest of it. This is stuff they declassified a long time ago.
But hang on. I want to ask you the question. Listen. If the evidence is there, as you say, Alex, if it is there for every American man, woman, and child to read and to see, and if, as you go on your radio show and you're on your website continually saying this, why are there not people asking questions and beginning to say, hey, you know, this Alex Jones, he's got a point. Listen,
they are. Listen. We just had a Gannett News Service, University of Ohio scientific poll. 36% of Americans believe 9/11 is an inside job. The Zogby poll showed 48% believe 9/11 is an inside job, and the real numbers are much higher. But let me just briefly finish up with history, then I'll get into 9/11,
okay,
because this is so important. Kermit Roosevelt, with a bunch of CIA operatives and MI6, together overthrew Iran and their elected government by staging terror attacks and reverse blaming it on the government. That is completely declassified. Let me just add this right here. My new film, Terror Storm, that took me a year to make, I traveled to England, I traveled all over the U.S. to produce it, I uploaded it day one for free on Google Video. You go to Google Video, you type in Terror Storm, and there's a whole bunch of different versions. Other people have uploaded it, not in the highest quality. Look for the ones that say high quality. It looks totally great, almost as good as TV. Go and watch it on your computer screen, Terror Storm, or go to Infowars.com, or PrisonPlanet.com, or JonesReport.com, and there's big links on all three of my big websites, sites where you can go watch a film that cost me almost $100,000. It was about $90,000 to produce. I put it out for free. That's how strongly I believe in this. We're not going to have a future if we don't expose this. Governments are using this as the catch-all, as a smokescreen. As George Orwell wrote in 1984 in that fictitious police state, he learns the government staging the terror attacks against itself to then oppress its people.
But listen. In this country, we are at the moment, and we might talk a little bit about this later, we're having stories daily in the newspapers about what happened to Princess Diana, okay?
And the majority of Brits believe the government killed her, and they should.
Yeah, but nobody is taking any notice. There will be a cover-up. They can get away with doing this stuff if, in fact, this is what happened and we're right. And nobody is going to pay any attention to it at all. Either we're all brainwashed, I'm not sure whether that's true or not, or we're so comfortable that we've decided, well, we don't want to rock the boat.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, life is pretty darn good still, but as things get worse in this system, people will wake up, they will resist, there will be more whistleblowers. The world's never going to be perfect, but it's certainly better to question, it's certainly better to expose. It's totally clear they killed Dr. David Kelly. It's totally clear they killed Princess Di. I mean, you know, he says there's dark forces moving against me. I'm going to be found dead in the woods. People see men in black uniforms running away from his dead body. There's no blood at the scene. The pills are undigested. Princess Diana, she says, Charles says he's going to kill me in a fake auto accident. The whole thing's staged. We could talk for hours about that, and I'm sure you have. But just let me briefly finish up with just a little bit of history.
Go on.
And in Terror Storm, in the first 30 minutes of the two-hour film, we cover, and we show CIA.gov, we show you Library of Congress. Now, we knew this 40 years ago because naval captains and others went public and said it was staged. What got us into Vietnam that killed 58,000 Americans and over a million Vietnamese? The Gulf of Tonkin incident in 1964.
Right.
We already knew that that was a government-staged event. Our government sent in ships. I've even interviewed the Navy SEALs. Destroyers launched the attack boats. They went in and attacked the Vietnamese. The Vietnamese were so smart, they didn't even fire back. They came back, and we all knew this, and we were called conspiracy theories. In the last 2 years, the LBJ tapes from the Presidential Library in Austin, Lyndon Baines Johnson, the president, have been released with him on the phone with McNamara saying they're going to stage it. The NSA historians have gone public saying it was all staged. So now, totally admitted with the president and defense secretary on tape, LBJ from his ranch outside Austin, where he lived half the time, talking to McNamara, the defense secretary in D.C., about how they're going to stage an attack on a ship. Now, in this case, they didn't really blow up the ship. They just claimed the ships have been attacked, and we went to war, and 58,000 Americans died, and we spent over $500 billion. Now,
Alex, before you go any further, if this is provable, why has nobody taken anyone to court over it? If it is provable that people have done this and have lied and have perjured themselves, why has nobody ever been brought to book for this or any of the other incidents that you talk about?
Okay. Bill Doyle, who lost his son on 9/11, who is the head of the 9/11 Victims Family Group, the biggest group with over 7,000 people in it, on my radio show said he believes it's an inside job now. They've tried to sue the government, and the judges block it every single time. They go out and they protest.
I never see this in American newspapers, and I get to see quite a few newspapers in America. I never see half these stories in the American press.
Well, a lot of them you don't see in the press. Some you do. Let me tell you about one you do see in the American press, the U.S. press, and then let me get into 9/11 for you and break down how it really happened and what developed and you know, some of the psychology around it. Okay.
Listen, let me take a break. Before you start talking about that, one of our, I could say, conspiracy theorists, ex-MI5 operative David Shaler. I don't know if you're aware of David.
Yes, I've interviewed him. He's in Terror Storm.
Okay, well, he's online. He wants to have a chat with you, and we'll talk to David when we come back right after this. Okay, I'm calling it a conspiracy special tonight. Is it a conspiracy? Are these views right? Will we ever know? I don't know, Alex. Maybe one day we will. Listen, before we get on further, David's phoned in. Let's have a chat to David. David Shaler, of course, former MI5 operative and regular on this program. And also, I believe, David, you're in Alex's movie.
That's right, yes. I'm in Terror Storm, actually, which is great. Obviously, I met Alex and he came over to London. And I'd just like to say now, you know, congratulations to Alex for what is a great movie. It's very well researched. As he says, he shows the documentation. There could be no dispute about his facts. And what his facts establish beyond all reasonable doubt is that it's part of foreign policy for Western governments to carry out false flag operations and kill innocent people and then blame it on terrorists and so on. So they can continue, pillaging our pockets for so-called defence.
Let us remind ourselves, David, for those people who may have forgotten, that you were one of the first, I suppose, whistleblowers in this country, and you came out and you said this, which, of course, has done nothing but cause you problems ever since.
Now, he saw the documents where Muammar Gaddafi, they tried to hire, that is British intelligence, MI6, tried to hire Al-Qaeda to kill Muammar Gaddafi.
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, I was actually a sort of precursor of all this, but it was actually going on at the time. I really couldn't figure out why MI6 were funding our terrorist enemies, and other than the fact they just hated Gaddafi. But by this point, Gaddafi no longer posed a threat because they knew he'd given up terrorism. So it didn't make any sense. It was only in the light of what I found out since, and obviously what's happened since in terms of the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq, that you can see they had a very similar plan, which that would be to put in Al-Qaeda in Libya, replacing Gaddafi, and then, of course, turning around to the UN and saying, well, we can't have these dangerous people in charge in Libya, we've got to invade. And, of course, Libya has quite a rich oil supply, and it's also a key strategic military point in North Africa.
Exactly, and let's not forget that the BBC even had a report that members of the Special Air Services were caught dressed up like Arabs running around shooting Basra Iraqi police late last year, dressed up like Arabs with machine guns and plastic explosives, and high-level former CIA advisor to Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. has gone public saying clearly our government and the British government are staging terror attacks in Iraq to continue the civil war. And people ask, why? Do defense contractors make more money if we
Hang on, guys. Listen, according to our government, there is no civil war in Iraq.
So all the people we see dying is just in our imagination.
Absolutely right. It doesn't happen. It's just the media telling lies again.
Well, I think the problem we've actually come up against is just how easy it is to manipulate the media. And we saw that with the Iraq weapons of mass destruction. And we also know from Scott Ritter, of course, the former UN weapons inspector, that MI6 was deliberately planting information in the press across the world, which information, by the way, which in some cases knew was based on forged documents.
Which I presume they would say, well, of course, this is what the Secret Services do. This is to make sure we protect our country, and this is how we go about whatever we do.
But we're not protecting our country if it's being based on falsehoods. I mean, the whole war on terror has not actually protected us at all. It's just increased terrorism, and the whole war on terror was dedicated on false information.
But listen, how many guys like us are talking about this all the time, and nobody seems bothered?
Well, James, people are starting to get concerned.
Yeah, they are. People are starting to talk about this. I mean, obviously, we talk about it a lot because we're involved in it, but, you know, certainly I get the impression now from when I go up to talk to people on in the streets, you know, that basically people's attitude has changed. When I first started to say 9/11 was an inside job, people would get quite irate and say, how dare you say that? Whereas now people really want to know what's happened. And, you know, we're building up momentum, and obviously the weekend of 9/11, we're having a series of events, including having David Ray Griffin at the Conway Hall in London on the 9th, and a benefit gig on the 10th, and a demo outside the American Embassy on the 11th.
Have you got permission?
Yes, we have. Fine, we have got permission, yes, don't worry.
I don't know whether you know about this, Alex, but if you...
Oh, it's all part of your new freedom. No, they threatened to arrest me protesting even before the law went into effect. Last year, when I was outside Parliament, they said, well, in 3 days, we'll arrest you if you do this. So, got to get rid of that free speech in the birthplace of it.
Yeah, well, I people don't really realize how much of an imposition this is. And I haven't decided when I'm going to do it yet. But I think after the show one night, I'm going to go down to number 10 and I'm going to stand outside with a placard. I haven't quite decided what I'm going to put on it, and I'm going to wait and see how long it takes for me to be bundled off.
Did you hear about the lady who had the London Independent with her, and so they threatened to arrest her and put her in the terrorist database? I was there, they told me I was being put in a surveillance database because I dare be down there interviewing people, and I had police walk up to me by one of the major train stations out on the street, and they said, you have to have permission to interview people in England now, and I have this on tape in the new film Terror Storm.
Yeah, well, I apologize about that. Tony Blair is unfortunately not a very bright man, and he doesn't really understand what he has done. I think he probably thinks he's doing it with the best intentions. I think, though, he now has probably begun to realize what a cock-up he's made and how many lives he is responsible for losing. I was looking at him being interviewed today, and he looks like a broken man.
Well, so he should, after killing so many people. He really should. He should have got out beforehand. And I thought he really crossed the Rubicon the other week when he said that the people in the Middle East had no legitimate grievances. And, you know, I kind of wonder what he reads in his briefing papers, because certainly the Foreign Office will be giving him the historical background.
Answer me this, guys. After the, Israel's retaliation against...
Hezbollah.
Against Hezbollah. how come the world, even Kofi Annan, had to shut his mouth and did so when Bush told him to? How can that amount of carnage be done, that many people in a couple of weeks be killed, and still nobody is saying anything about it?
Well, it's because the power elite are in trouble. And exactly, and they know the populations of the planet together are waking up, so this is an attempt, we can talk about that later, to kick off World War III. The New Yorker magazine, which says inside sources, also the Times of London, the similar sources, were in the meeting, they have sources that were in the meeting weeks before that attack, and Bush actually told, through Cheney, told Israel, attack them now, we need this for the election, we see this as a, quote, curtain raiser on the attack on Iran. Major Israeli papers reported yesterday they've now appointed a wartime cabinet and a wartime general to attack Iran.
Answer me this. Will the people of America support an attack on Iran?
No, they don't support an attack on Iran, but the media will tell us we support it, and then we have people go out and protest in the streets. Police in black uniforms and ski masks will shoot them with rubber bullets.
Okay, well, answer me this question then, if that is the case. I don't understand. This worry about Iran getting a nuclear bomb. Listen.
They're 9 years away. What about Pakistan? What about North Korea?
Hang on. Listen to what I'm saying. Okay, even if Iran or anyone else has a nuclear bomb, America's got more than enough nuclear bombs to wipe out the universe, probably.
10,000. 10,000.
So why would you worry about Iran having a nuclear bomb? If they ever looked at you the wrong way, you could obliterate the country. So why worry?
England's conservatively got 2,000 nukes. Israel has 600. The U.S. on the book says they have 10,000. It's more like 20, I've been told. The French have got about 1,000. It's a complete joke.
You know, why are we getting so worried about somebody else getting some?
We're not at all. It's just an excuse to go in, as it was set out in the document predating 9/11 in September 2000. In the document rebuilding America's defenses, they said they need to control a gas pipeline across Afghanistan, need to control the Iraqi oil supply, and control the Iranian oil supply.
And they said we need a terrorist attack to get the people of the United States and England to accept it.
You see, if you had somebody saying that on tape, then of course you would be able to change the world.
Well, we have it in a document, and normally somebody who shows prior knowledge of an event, would normally be a prime suspect. But
it's on their own website.
Why haven't people been arrested? And that's because the law now is only applied to dissidents. It's not applied to people in government
selective,
who commit the same offences.
Selective enforcement. Absolutely right, Mr. Shaler.
I've asked both of you this question. I'm going to ask you both again. How come the both of you are still alive?
I'd like to answer that, but you go ahead, David, then I'll take it.
Well, I have guardian angels protecting me, I think, because I've been in three very suspicious car accidents. Once, in fact, would you believe, in a black Ritz Mercedes a month after Princess Diana was killed. And I've actually survived all of those three car accidents, so I think someone somewhere up there must like me. But it's a very serious point, though. I mean, it really is that, you know, these people are making attempts on our lives. When I saw the death of Dr. David Kelly, I was absolutely shocked, not so much the fact they killed him, you kind of expected that.
But how obvious.
Yeah, but how obvious they've made it, and how the mainstream media, no one in this country even speculated that the intelligence services had killed him, despite the evidence about dark actors playing games.
The hiker that found him said five guys in black uniforms ran away from the
dead
body.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, he's telling his family and friends, and in emails to other members of the government, he's saying they're going to put me dead in the woods. I mean, how much more obvious does this get? I mean, I can answer the question. I'd like to answer the question of why I'm still alive.
Go on.
The reason is this. Number one, God's in control, and I do believe in guardian angels, but in the real world, the reason the globalists haven't killed David and I and many others yet is because we've already told our story, we've already gone public, and if they kill us, spies, lies, and whistleblowers will sell that much better. His book, Terror Storm, will be seen by everyone. I don't want to, you know, I always have to get into this, but let me just tell you something. I was exposing a corrupt federal judge 8 years ago, and I got calls at my home. My girlfriend, now my wife, was told, you got a little dog, it's in the backyard, I saw you come outside, I'm going to kill you, you frickin' bitch if you don't stop doing this. And then when I walked out of the TV studio one night, four guys in hoods came up and started pounding the living daylights out of me, breaking my nose, and probably would have beat me to death if I wouldn't have gone absolutely ape and totally torn up two of them before they fled. And they were telling me, shut up or next time you're dead. And I got on air that night and I said, you go ahead and you kill me because I'm not backing off and I'm never going to stop. So that's why we're still alive. They don't want to make us martyrs. Dr. David Kelly was about to go public. That's been admitted. He'd already partially gone public, so they had to kill him before he did. If you keep information in and you don't go public, you're as good as dead.
Well, I interviewed after that on this program two trauma surgeons who'd written a letter to the papers. I don't know if you remember it, David.
Almost no blood at the scene. It's totally impossible.
Yeah. And they said, listen, we've been treating trauma for many years. They are both very experienced surgeons, and they said it is almost impossible to commit suicide this way unless you're in a bath.
Yeah.
It is nearly totally impossible to use the sort of knife that was found at the scene.
And the pills weren't digested.
Yeah. These two very eminent surgeons even wrote a letter to the newspapers about this. I interviewed them afterwards, and then the whole thing just got forgotten.
Let me tell you a story, James. I was at dinner Sunday night with the BBC doing a big documentary on me, and at dinner, the entire crew laughed at me and told me I was an idiot because I mentioned those facts, and just giggled and snickered, and they were totally delusional, and I just frankly told them I had to go and left after they'd interviewed me.
You shouldn't let the BBC do anything with you, Alex. Next time the BBC, they're just a tool of the government, Alex. You don't want to have anything to do with them.
Absolutely. The BBC is a tool of the establishment in this country. As much as it pretends to be objective, it's not really at all, is it?
No.
Poses as liberal. Well, listen, I got that because I've been interviewed hundreds of times for TV, hundreds of times, literally hundreds of times by newspapers, and thousands of times on radio, and I never picked up more of a hit piece vibe. And I started sitting around the table with these guys, and I was looking at them, and I could really tell they were palpably evil.
Wouldn't surprise me. I've come across a few of them right out myself. But there is hope. I've got to say there is hope. We're getting a film out called Short Change, the first British film ever made about 9/11. And that's coming out in the time for the 5th anniversary. But also I'm submitting evidence, the final part of my case, to try and win an appeal. And of course, my case, people will well know that so far I have not been allowed to put in any evidence or cross-examine witnesses.
And everything you've said now, David, has been vetted and come out to be true. You're a hero.
You wouldn't believe that from the British judges, though, who've tried to stop me putting in any evidence again. But in this case, what I'm going to do is go for broke and put all the evidence in. And because they've mentioned 9/11 and 7/7 in their evidence, we're going to mention all the stuff that shows clearly that these, well, clearly in the case of 9/11 it's an inside job, but clearly in the case of 7/7 there is
They're
stuff
involved.
That the official inquiry haven't even looked at.
Well, yeah, let me just drop this plug in here. It is free. If you go to google.co.uk or google.com and you type in terror storm, two words, terror storm, you can watch a film that cost me, I was saying 85, but I looked it up, it's actually $90,000+ to make. We have uploaded it for free. Please get it, email it to everybody you know. It proves the Madrid bombing was an inside job. It proves the 7/7 was provocateured, bare minimum, looks like
okay.
Inside job.
Can you
and
give
it proves
me...
9/11 is an inside job, unlike any other film you've ever seen, and David Shaler and Annie Michonne are in it, along with Ray McGovern, top CIA analyst for Ronald Reagan and Bush Sr., along with countless other experts. This is the film Terror Storm.
Okay, people are going to go and watch that, and they're going to call me when they've seen it next week, maybe, or they're going to email me or write to me, and I'll be interested to hear what they say.
You can watch it too, James.
I'm going to watch it too. I'm not sure, but I'm going to watch it too.
I know how it is.
Listen, David, when are you back in court?
I've got until the 22nd of September to submit my case for an appeal, so I may not even get an appeal, but what I want to actually do is put the evidence before the judges and say to them the parallels that happened with the burning down of the German parliament in 1933 are uncanny at the moment. Bush was a lame duck president in the same way Hitler was a lame duck president until they carried out a false flag operation, then they became very popular.
Okay, now listen
and
to me.
The main point of this is that the judges in the Weimar Republic allowed Hitler to take away fundamental rights like not to be in prison without trial. So I'm going to say to the judges on this case, I'm going to say to them, you have a choice. We can see the road is going down. We're going towards totalitarianism. authoritarianism and tyranny.
Yes.
You have a choice. You could either go down that road, or you can stand up to this nonsense once and for all. But if you ignore me, you should know on your own conscience what you are doing.
Now, listen. Is there any point in voting for another government in an election?
No, hang on.
Right. So, what do we do then,
guys? Change the system. It's got to be changed, basically.
I was about to say, they don't control all the candidates. By recognizing how they control the Tories and Labour, the Democrats and the Republicans, we can set about with real solutions. We first have to realize the crisis level we are in. The Houston Chronicle is reporting that Bush is building FEMA camps for American citizens. I mean, it is that far along. This is not a game. They've introduced legislation for national conscription for the draft. This is serious.
And what? When are they going to bring this in?
After they stage another terror attack and blame it on Iran, and we're in a prime window for that to happen in the next 2 months to a year.
And where will that happen? In America or in Britain?
I would say Chicago, Dallas, places like that are prime targets in the U.S., and I would say London is the plum. London is under major New World Order threat right now.
And that's not, you don't think, from terrorists, but from an inside job. That's
well, later, if you like, there's three different types of provocateur actions, and I know that they are provocateuring real groups in your country. Then there are attacks where it's purely government. But, yeah, when it's a big attack, it's purely government. There are real Islamic extremists, but every time we research it, it tracks right back to Mossad, MI6, or CIA. A lot of times they go find mentally unstable Muslims and have them carry out attacks. David?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think what we now know about Mohammed Sadiq Khan is, in many ways, he fits the profile of a classic traditional resistance fighter stroke terrorist. There's a recording of him talking about making a bomb to use abroad, but clearly in occupied territories and so on, that's legitimate. But obviously, once having then risen above the radar for that, of course, he can then be recruited by the services to do what he thinks may be a legitimate operation or something like that, and then suddenly he finds himself in the middle of 7-7.
We've caught him red-handed. I mean, if you'd like, I can go over the 93 World Trade Center. Yep. Totally declassified. The government did that.
We're going to talk about that in a moment. Hang on. Let's just take a step back, and then you won't lose all of us who are listening. Of course, remember, Alex, Americans don't speak English properly. Now, just before I say goodbye to you, David, and of course, it's not because I'm being lent on by the government. It's because of time, and a lot of callers want to speak to Alex. And of course, when you want to come on the show, just let me know, and you're more than welcome. You said, David, before that there was light at the end of the tunnel. Now, anybody listening to you and Alex together on the show at the end of it could be near suicidal, and I really don't want all my listeners topping themselves because I need them. So give them something to hope for.
Well, this is it. This has been a gift given to us. 9/11 is so easy to expose in the society we live in, that if we can't expose it, we don't deserve to live in a democracy. Whenever they do something, it goes wrong. It's going wrong in Afghanistan at the moment, it's going wrong in Iraq, and it's going wrong in Lebanon. Israel tried to start World War III, but public opinion stopped it, essentially.
That's right.
And I believe that that is what's going on at the moment. What we're actually seeing is a massive wakening up of people in the West and people across the world. And that's being done because it's so obvious to expose all of these false flag operations.
So do you actually think that maybe America was expecting that Iran and Syria would actually have been drawn into the Lebanese
war?
Yes.
Of course. That was the plan, of course. But it didn't happen.
Listen, we have the mainstream news articles with the sources, military men, and this is why we know. We know about this because the generals that were in that meeting with Cheney were so upset they leaked it to Cy Hirsch at the New Yorker. I mean, that guy's stuff's good as gold over and over again, going back to Vietnam. I mean, if he reports it, you can believe it. And Bush is saying, quote, through Cheney, said, this is the curtain raiser for the attack on Iran. So, yes, they meant for that to go well. They meant for the Israelis to be able to push all the way up to Beirut, the capital of Lebanon, at which point Syria said they had to come in just because of the refugee problem, then they would have bombarded them. They were planning to do it right there. The problem is Israel's saying they're going to go ahead now and attack Iran and try to drag the United States, and you better believe the UK, right into it.
Well, we aren't going to be dragged into this because we know, and I think, I like to think that programs like this and lots of other programs continually saying, hey, listen, we're not going to be involved. We are not going to be allowed. Mind you, I'm saying that.
But you know what they're going to say. They're going to say, we helped you in World War II and now you have to and you know you're going.
Well, I don't think that Blair understood what he was getting himself into. And he was totally quiet. He didn't say anything during the short war. He was on holiday. He didn't say anything. He didn't make a statement, and he hasn't really spoken about it since. And when I saw him on television earlier today, I was looking at a broken man, a man who is very worried.
That might be worried. You might be worried, though, because Ewan went to hospital recently with a mystery stomach bug, which, you know, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here when I say that might be a warning shot across his bow. They might have just given him a small dose of poison just to say to him, if you step out of line, Tony, your son's going to die. Because that kind of thing's not possible. That's exactly how they work. That's why I don't have children, so they can't actually attack my children. They kill me, that's fine, but they can't actually hold me to ransom over anybody else's life.
Do you not think, perhaps, David, when you say things like that, then people are going to back, oh, he's just talking nonsense and turn off?
Well, no,
I've worked behind the scenes, they haven't. I have lived his life,
right.
I've had the
attempts right.
on
that's
my
right.
life.
I have yeah, to... he worked for MI5, and I want to make something clear here. David and I are finishing each other's sentences. I didn't even know he was coming on the show.
No, you didn't.
It's because we're not making this stuff up. We're following the documents, the fact, the history. Listen to how we finish each other's sentences, because we're just following the truth.
But listen,
know
guys,
what the truth is.
I had one email I was just reading now from somebody saying, James, great to hear that you've got Alex on again and David, but how dare you call them conspiracy theorists? Well, you know, I'm sorry to say, but until the people start believing this and it gets into the mainstream, it's going to continue to be under the heading of conspiracy theory. And there is, you're saying, there is this conspiracy. A lot of people are beginning to believe it more and more and more. David, as you know, you used to be thought of as a bit of a joke, and now people are beginning to say, hey, hang on a minute, listen, what David said, maybe there's something in it.
Well, I mean, look, the people saying that somebody slits their wrist and bleeds to death with no blood at the scene, I mean, the people believing the Dr. David Kelly story, they're the ones that are a joke.
Yeah, even to the extent with Kelly, his wrist actually punctured below the cut mark, which clearly indicates, of course, that somebody injected him with something and then cut his wrist afterwards, but didn't cut it deep enough to hide the injection. I mean, is that obvious?
All right, what do you think David Kelly was going to say that people didn't want to hear?
Really, I don't want to repeat totally, there may be reasons. His knowledge of his work in, certainly not just this work, but his work in germ warfare and everything else.
Okay.
Pointing down.
Forget that, and we'll move swiftly on. Right, David, thank you very much indeed for your time, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you very much, James. Great show, and good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck, Alex. Cheers.
You bet, David. Good hearing from you. That was a great surprise.
Yeah, I'm concerned about that black limousine across the street, Ash. Can you keep an eye on it?
No, listen.
Blackout windows as well.
James, most people in government are actually on our side. Most people in your own intelligence services don't like what's happening. That's why it's getting harder and harder for the New World Order Crime Syndicate to carry out these events, because they have to do it in the dark. They can't do it when we're wise to their tricks.
Who can we trust? That's the problem, Alex. Who can we trust?
Well, we can trust ourselves, our neighbors, we can be strong, we can never back off, never surrender, and know that as scary as things get, going along with the lie is more dangerous for all of us. We have to tell these criminals that we're aware of what they're doing, and I do see them starting to get a little bit paranoid, a little bit concerned. They're beginning to realize that the worm has turned, that people are not buying into their lies and propaganda anymore.
So what is going to happen when, you say, in the next maybe a couple of months, maybe next year, I think it's going to be sooner than that. I think I felt that we are being softened up to be taken into a war with Iran. They're not able to do it. They wanted to do it before.
Sure.
I would agree with you. But are we going to be strong enough, particularly I'm talking about us here in Britain, because I think Blair has had a shock about how the people of this country have turned on him after he went into Iraq. Now, I hope I'm right, I don't think the people of Britain will allow our government to follow the Americans into another war.
I agree with you. The American people don't want it either. The problem is our governments drag us into it, and what power do we have? You can't go protest at 10 Downing Street. You know, why are they doing that? Why are they having free speech zones here and banning free speech and demonstrations? They're trying to head us off. Minus a massive terrorist attack orchestrated by those that have the motive, and they've done it in the past, minus a major terror attack blamed on a foreign enemy, another self-inflicted wound, they're not going to be able to go into Iran. So we are in a prime zone right now for the globalists to launch a terror attack in the U.S. or the U.K. and blame it on Iran, and they'll have the Hezbollah-connected militants on TV. You ought to see Fox News over here. I mean, they're announcing every 5 minutes that we're going to be hit by terrorists, where you have to give up all your rights, we're going to war with Iran, Israel's going to go ahead and hit Iran, Newt Gingrich just called it World War III, and former Speaker of the House, all saying we need World War III. They are beating the war drums. That's why it is vital that everyone realize right now that it is the state and the corporations that control it that have the motive in terror, and we've caught them doing it in the past. So if they do stage another terror attack, we have to instantly hit the streets exposing it as government-sponsored terror, because the PNAC documents, the other globalist documents, they're public. State, James, that Iran isn't the real target. Okay, it's about the domestic police state they're able to get through. While you're in a major war, they know the people won't criticize the government. The real targets are our pensions. There are children in national drafts. It is the government.
We don't have any pensions over here. You can forget that. The only people who have pensions over here are the politicians. Now, listen, Alex, we're coming up to news, all right? When we come back in the next hour of the show, we're going to take calls and some emails, all right?
Absolutely. I would like to get into a major new development, by the way, when we get back, about 9/11.
Okay.
The National Institute of Standards and Technology, federal government here, is now seriously considering bombs in Building 7, that big 47-story building on 9/11 that was not hit by a plane that fell. They are now taking us serious, and they're now saying bombs could have been in there.
Okay. Now, when we come back, we'll be talking about that and everything else. We'll be taking a load of calls. Lots of people want to talk about this as well. If you want to check out Alex's website, don't forget you can download his movie Terror Storm for free, okay? If you go to Infowars.com, you can find out all about this, and maybe during the news you can read up on Alex and find out a bit more. James just emailed me and he said, James, I wonder if you know about Harrowdown Hill. This is, of course, where Dr. David Kelly was killed.
Yes.
It's by the lead singer of Radiohead, and it covers the issues of the apparent cover-up with his death. Worth a listen to. I haven't heard that. We'll have a listen to that.
Did you hear that Muse went public at the big Reading Festival live on BBC wearing a Terror Storm t-shirt, and he told everybody to go to Google Video and watch Terror Storm?
No, but I heard you say it just now on my show, so Alex, thanks for that.
You bet.
We'll take a break for the news. We'll come right back after this. Here we go. Final hour of the show tonight that'll really make you wet your panties with fear when you hear what Alex Jones has to say. Thanks to David Shaler for phoning in the last hour. Just to sort of entertain myself this weekend, today, actually, Friday, I'm hosting Punk Friday at the Tinwood Arena in Bedfordshire. Bad Fest with Bad Manners and the one and only Buster Blood Vessel. I'm there tonight. I'll be there from 6 right the way through the night with Sham 69, the Ruts UK Subs, Itchy Tits, and more. But now back to reality for a moment. We're with the great Alex Jones. He is, I'm afraid, whatever anybody else says, at the moment he is the conspiracy theorist par excellence. I have actually been trying to explain to him during the break what sarcasm is, because as you probably know, Americans have no idea about sarcasm, and he was worried if he'd been plugging his thing too much.
No, he was worried he's plugged someone else's thing too.
Oh, did he? Oh, right, okay. Well, we don't care what he does, really, as long as...
Do what you want, Alex.
Yeah, do what
Lord
you want.
Lord Whale,
no,
please!
No, no, no. Lord Protector!
Lord Grand Protector of the Realm, the Great Whale.
Now, you know, when Americans try and do an English accent, they always try and do an English accent from the movies of the 40s and 50s. I'm going to have to teach you, Alex. Next time you come over, we'll get together, we'll share a little dinner.
Sounds good.
I will take you to some of the interesting parts of our capital. And
now, you know, two of my key brains are British. They live in London and Sheffield, respectively. The Paul and the Steve Watson brothers doing an excellent job. So,
are you paying them?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good. Well, that's fine. That's fine. I paid
them lavishly.
I didn't want to think the Yanks were taking advantage again, that's all.
No, we do not.
All right, fine. Okay, you come over here, you shag our women, and you, you know, and... What was it they said during the Second World War?
Hey, are you serious? You think we shag your women?
Well, you certainly
did. When I was fighting,
the Americans were over here entertaining our women.
Well, let me tell you, when I see the Brits over here in Austin, they're shagging the women.
Do you have that term in America, shagging? Do you know what it means?
Boinking? Yeah.
Right, listen, let me start. Before you start telling me, we'll talk about the new 9/11 stuff in a moment, okay? We will talk about that.
But I'm just a regular guy, James. I mean, you know, now you got me off on shagging now. Let's talk about that. It's a better subject.
No.
I wish this wasn't happening. I wish we didn't have terrorists running our society.
Okay, I agree with you. Now, listen, I want to feed in some public opinion now, all right? First of all, some emails and texts coming. This is from Steve. He says, if there is any truth in what your guests are claiming, then why is it that you're having such a show only on nighttime and not during the day? Well, Steve, I don't like to brag, but this is where all the listeners are, I have to tell you. This is where people tune in at night and listen, not while they're doing something
else. Yeah, I mean, I've been in radio for 13 years. Let me just tell them it's the same as here as it is in the UK. You get kind of the news, quick news, or sports format during the day because people are listening for an average of 14 minutes. At night is where you have these type of formats because the cume could be 35, even 40, even an hour long. And so that's the time spent listening. So this is where the big radio happens.
Okay, now, I have lost it. I'm going to find this again. I have just had an email from a guy who describes himself as Britain's only elected representative who now believes and is working towards proving that 9/11 was an inside job.
Is that Michael Meacher?
No, here we go. Councillor Simon Smith. Have you heard of him?
No, I got to get him on. Let me write that down.
Okay.
Councillor Simon Smith. My producer is here at the office. Get on it.
He says, I'm the first elected person in Britain to say 9/11 was an inside job. Newspapers refuse to publish my views.
Well, tell Councillor Simon Smith something. He can email me at tips@infowars.com, and we'll get him on next week.
Okay. Tell him how important a councillor is, James, so he doesn't get...
Well, I have local politicians and local people on all the time.
Exactly. I keep making the point, Ash, and you must listen to what I'm saying. People vote in local elections, which they don't, it's very important. We get the councillors we deserve. A lot of these guys who are running our local areas, our local town halls, our local village halls over here, are the people who couldn't get a job anywhere else.
I agree. That's where the real power is. In fact, on my own show today, I was repeating over and over again that we get 60% turnout for a national election for president, but 6% locally, and the real power is locally, so good people should get involved there.
Okay. Amjil says, could I ask Alex Jones what the significance of the year 2012 is, if any, in this particular plan he is attempting to expose?
Okay, James hit on this, Mr. Well hit on this earlier, and I didn't have time to get into it. He said, you know, there's so many theories, it's probably put out there to confuse things by design, and he couldn't be more on target. We know that government operatives go out and put out wild, ridiculous conspiracy theories on 9/11, like no planes hit Tower 1 or 2 of the trade centers. They put out ridiculous things by design to then discredit serious work like we've been doing. And listen, I'm not criticizing people that think the end of the world comes in 2012 or the people that believe in New Age stuff, but people got the wrong person. The media tries to mix in UFOs and all that stuff with the things I talk about. I mean, 10 years ago, I talk about the American Union, the North American Union. People laugh at me and say UFOs. Now they don't because we're in the American Union. They just signed it quietly last year. So it's the same thing. I don't get off into things I can't prove or, you know, what if we're really run by 14-foot blood-drinking lizards. You know, I don't get into the 14-foot blood-drinking lizards that are going to suck your brains. I talk about real issues. That's what we do. We talk about real documents, things you can prove.
Okay. I was just having a bit of a midnight snack. I apologize about that.
What are you having? It sounds good.
What is it, Ash?
It's a Twix. You have them in America, Twix.
Oh, Twix, there? Yeah, those are the nougat and the caramel, covered in the chocolate, two little Twixies.
That's right, with the shortcake bottom.
Yeah.
That's right.
We do like the shortcake bottom, don't we, quite a lot?
You said right.
Okay, Chris in Birmingham, Britain's second city, I believe. Terror Storm is a kick-ass documentary. 5 minutes on a megaphone outside Westminster Abbey and gets a police warning. Classic. Oh, well, there we are. That's good.
But not just when I was on a megaphone. I would be out front just a little train station where they shot Charles de Menez, and I'd be quietly talking to people, and the cops would walk over and ask if I had permission to be filming, and I thought all I needed was, you know, the Magna Carta, but I guess Tony Blair 6 years ago announced that was dead.
No, I mean, to be honest, filming anywhere in Britain for years has been a no-no. The amount of times I used to get stopped when filming for my TV show.
The Taliban, isn't it?
Hey, why do you put up with that? Britainers have never been like that. Let these turkeys know you're not slaves.
Well,
give them some British steel.
Hang on. Let me tell you, we are slaves. What are you talking about? Of course we're flipping slaves. I can't go into a shop and buy a bottle of wine on a Sunday afternoon because of some stupid religious problems. All right? In this
liquor
laws, you know. I can't actually... well, there are loads of things I can't do in this country. I mean, if I don't have a television license, I get threatening letters from the BBC.
I'm trying to figure this out. Excuse me. So, why are they saying you can't engage in news gathering on the streets?
Because that's the way it is, and in this country, you've got to have permission to do almost anything. And remember, in this country...
You have permission to wipe your butt?
You should do, but a lot of us don't bother.
I do it illegally.
Yeah, I know you do. A lot of us actually... Let's not get into the realms of silliness just yet. I mean, Alex is serious, and we want to take...
I am serious. And you guys somehow have got me off into something I've never done.
No, that's good. Okay, let's take a few calls. Get back onto it, okay?
Okay, I'd like to get into the evidence of 9/11 being an inside job, if you'd like.
Should we do that first and then go to calls?
Well, it's your show. We can take calls and then do it, if you like. We've got the NIST report saying bombs may have been in the buildings.
Tell me about that.
Okay. They've given five different reasons that Building 7, that giant 47-story tower, perfectly blew up and fell into a tiny little pile at 5:23 p.m. that afternoon. First, they said the North Tower fell into it. Then there was a video and photos, and we proved it wasn't true, so they said, okay, it didn't. Then they claimed a fuel oil tank blew up. Then that was proven to be a fraud. Then they claimed it was faulty construction. Then they admitted that was a fraud. Then the underwriters of the building, underwriting laboratory's own engineer, went public saying clearly the official story was a fraud. And then the owner slipped up on TV and said, no, we actually gave the order to blow it up that day. But still there's been denials about this. And for those that don't know, it takes weeks to put bombs in a building. And in my film Terror Storm, we show Building 7 falling. Perfect controlled demolition experts, major company heads have gone public saying it's one of the most beautiful controlled demos they've ever seen. Well, here's the headline from PrisonPlanet.com. When you read the article, it links through to the mainstream government website that's made the announcement. NIST to probe whether WTC-7 downed by bombs, forced to issue response to 9/11 truth movement questions on official website. The National Institute of Standards and Technologies is set to conclude its investigation of the World Trade Center collapse by analyzing if bombs brought down WTC-7, the 47-story skyscraper that was not hit by a plane, yet collapsed in a controlled demolition style in under 7 seconds. And NIST is now saying that, quote, let me find the quotes here. NIST would like to determine the magnitude of hypothetical blast scenarios that could have led to the structural failure of one or more critical elements causing the collapse. Then there is another quote in here. And so they're now having to admit that they can't understand why it fell. The University of Glasgow in England also looked at it and could make a building fall. And so all these scientists, the modern steel building had never fallen from fire. Okay. Then they claimed that planes knocked down Tower 1 and 2. Which has been disproven, too. But Building 7 wasn't even hit, and still it fell, and now they're having to look at bombs.
But that doesn't mean that that could mean that the terrorists got into these buildings and put the bombs in there before they flew the plane.
But James, 7, and you can type this into Google, just type in Building 7 tenants. Okay. It was a private building. All 47 stories were government. Guess what was in there? The National Security Agency, Defense Intelligence, Central Intelligence, that's CIA, IRS, Army Intelligence, the City Command Bunker. Okay, this was a huge spook building with full security and a perimeter with armed guards with machine guns, and it would take at least 2 weeks to wire this building for a perfect controlled demolition.
Okay. Do you want to know? I am listening to you, and I'm just reading today's Friday's papers as well.
And eating a Twix.
No, I've done that. front page of the Express this morning: the Diana dossier, the witness they set out to discredit. Interesting story in there. But the Daily Mirror front page this morning: you're going to love this. Fury as W assassinated.
Yeah, that's that new stupid movie they're putting out, hyping the terrorist threat, where terrorists kill the stupid puppet George W. Bush, who's from Maine, not from Texas. By the way, he's afraid of horses, but he wears a stupid cowboy hat. You only wear that when you're working in the sun all day, like a sombrero. And then from a real cowboy who grew up on a ranch, and my family, you know, is Texas as it gets.
Are you a real cowboy?
Real deal, yes I am.
I love cowboys.
Well, there's not real many of them, but the point is that this whole thing is completely and totally staged.
Okay. Well, it's a channel for a hard-hitting British TV drama. President Bush assassinated by a terrorist sniper sparked outrage last night.
Oh, yeah, it's just total propaganda. It creates the myth that terrorists want to kill the president. And later, you know, after we take some calls, I'd like to go through the different types of terrorists, because there are real Muslim terrorists, and I want to be honest about that. But they're absolutely no threat, and so we can break down how they provide terror and how they do it.
How can they be no threat? I mean, if they're trying to kill us and they sort of run around with explosives strapped to their bodies, I think they're quite a big threat.
Well, let me just be clear about that. Predominantly, statistically, in the aggregate, if you're talking about real terrorists that really carry out real attacks, they only kill a couple hundred people every year in the Middle East and very few in Europe. They are almost unheard of in Europe. And so when you've got hundreds of thousands of people dying every year in the U.S. from car accidents, I don't know what the numbers are in England, I would imagine it's tens of thousands drowning, and tens of thousands committing suicide, I'm saying you've got a better chance, and they've done the numbers on this, of being struck by lightning, okay, than you do of being killed by a terrorist, even if you believe the official numbers. And then when you take out the government terrorist attacks, the big, highly coordinated ones, the staged events, and look at real Muslim terrorist attacks, they are as rare as a blue moon. I mean, it is like finding an Easter bunny with a leprechaun. This just doesn't happen.
We've got to take some calls. Let's go to Essex. Chris, you're on the air through to Alex Jones. Hi, Chris.
You're right, James?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I've got a question for Alex.
Here on.
Hi, Alex.
Hello, Governor.
Anyway, I was just got to say something to ask you. There's living hijackers in in Saudi Arabia, and
yes.
I've seen a BBC article on it.
Yes.
Would you ever get them on your show and interview them?
Yeah, we've tried to do that. The telephones, number one, don't work too well in many of those countries. It's very hard to get a hold of people, and everybody's, well, not everybody, but, I mean, you think it's bad with Joneses and Smiths in England. But folks over there, it's very hard. We have tried. But since he raises that, let me just hit you with the number one 9/11 smoking gun, that it's an inside job.
Okay.
Number one. The dean of the Defense Language School, the Fulbright colonel that ran the Monterey Defense Spy School, a month and a half after 9/11, and I talked to him, went public to the San Jose Mercury News and the Associated Press with the headline, Bush Made 9/11 Happen. Now, I called him a day after it. He was already being threatened with court-martial. The head of the college, the secret military spy college, and his wife is screaming at him in the background, they threatened you, don't talk to him, I told you. And he's like, Mr. Jones, I'd love to be able to go public and talk to you, but I can't. And he hung up the phone. But what we do know out of the news articles is that he went public saying, listen, These hijackers were U.S. government agents. We were forced to train them here at the spy base. Now, let me add a bunch of other evidence. We have Pensacola News Journal, MSNBC, and Newsweek magazine in plain view. This was all reported. That at least five of the hijackers were trained at the Pensacola Naval Air Station in some type of secret spy program. That's the west of the East Coast now, with the west end of the East Coast. Then I interviewed two separate embassy heads, the head of the Ottawa Embassy in Canada for the entire East country of Canada for the U.S., and the head of the Saudi Arabian U.S. Embassy. The so-called hijackers, who were U.S. government agents, they left and went to Malaysia in 2000. They were trying to come back from that famous Al-Qaeda summit, as it was billed. When they got to Saudi Arabia and Canada, they were flagged as terrorists on the computer and were barred re-entry. They'd already been in the U.S. back in. The CIA called up via the phone with one of the highest level people from the State Department and told both embassy chiefs, "You're to let them in. This terrorism listing."
Can you prove that?
It's been in our news, and I've interviewed the embassy heads.
Okay.
These guys are U.S. government agents. The terrorist label is their cover.
If you can prove that, why has nobody taken it further then? Actually on the record, and the proof is there. Yeah, sure.
Let me tell you.
Cool.
We have the White House memo between Tony Blair and George W. Bush, 2 months before the bombardment started in March of 2003, 3.5 years ago. This is Times of London, Associated Press, New York Times, Washington Post. It is not debatable. The documents have been confirmed to be authentic. Blair and Bush have been trying to say they want to arrest whoever released it. It was released out of 10 Downing Street. There's some patriots there. Again, this is why they're going to lose, because good people are in there. It is the minutes, the quotes of Bush and Blair. You cover the news, James, you sure heard about it. The White House memo makes the Downing Street memo look like a joke. Mm. And in there, Bush says, "We've got to stage some type of provocation, fly a plane low, paint it up like the UN, get Saddam to shoot it down, stage WMD fines." That is all public. Why aren't they both impeached? Why haven't they both been indicted? Why haven't they both been removed? Lying to take us to war, red-handed, and you're right, nothing's being done.
Thank you, Chris. Let's go to Ross in God's own country, North Yorkshire.
Hi there, James. Hi, Alex.
Hello.
All right, yeah, I'm just ringing to say I think you're doing a fantastic job. One of the query for you is the building that was blown up and detonated that came down like a stack of cards.
Yes.
It would have taken probably a seven-man team 2 weeks just to actually put in place the actual, bombs, etc.
Yes.
So why didn't anybody see,
They actually did. Take Oklahoma City, another government bombing. I interviewed Jane Graham and two others, even a security guard, who saw men, white men, drilling the columns in the, they have the maintenance halls in these big buildings, areas people never even go. But Jane Graham was the head of HUD on the top floor, so she would, the elevators at 9 a.m. would be busy, so she was wanting to get exercise. She was overweight, so she would walk up the 9 flights. And 2 days in a row before they blew up the Oklahoma City building, there's these guys with drills putting, quote, gray butter on them. That's plastic explosive C4, boys and girls, hexogen. And so they caught them doing it, and it's the same thing. Building 7 was run by the CIA. They ran security on the building. People did see suspicious things. In fact, a Secret Service agent had said he saw suspicious things happening a week before. He's the only person that died in Building 7, even though it evacuated, for 8 hours before it collapsed, 7 hours before it collapsed. Magically, the one witness, and then obviously they killed him and threw him in the building before they blew it up. And they had, in the month before 9/11, they had terror drill after terror drill and had evacuated the World Trade Centers 3 separate times. They had permanently shut off floors in both buildings, and there were all sorts of weird construction workers in there, and so it's the same story again.
Okay. Ross, thanks for that. Let's go to Simon, who's in Romford. Simon, you're on the air through to Alex Jones. What's your question?
Yeah, hi, Alex, and hi, James. Judging by, I was watching Fox News tonight, judging by the way George Bush is acting, calling it the Islamic fascism and all the rest of it. Do you believe, I've got 2 points really, do you believe that the attack on Iran is more already been decided?
I think we can say that Alex definitely feels that's already in the can, as it were. Let's get your second one, Simon.
Well, the second one is back to 9/11. I was reading a piece in a newspaper about the flight that was supposedly let's roll, you know, that one. There was witnesses saying that there was a white aircraft seen, windowless and plain, by several people. It was never taken up. Was the 9/11 fly-by-wire, was it that done that way, or was it done in another way? I was just wondering what you thought, Alex.
Well, these are both good questions. Let me just try to take the second one. What I did with 9/11, we call it an orgy of evidence. If you focus on hijackers being government agents, if you focus on CIA insider trading, if you focus on public officials called the days before and told not to fly specifically to New York, if you focus on bin Laden being known CIA, if you focus on these hundreds of CIA drills of flying hijacked jets into the World Trade Center and Pentagon the very day at the very same time to confuse the rest of NORAD and the Defense Department, then there's no reason to even look at that. But, yeah, it was videotaped, some weird white plane over the Pentagon when all of their air traffic was shut down, a weird white plane flying over the towers. State police said they saw, planes and explosions in the 8.5-mile debris field with Flight 93. All of that is important, and, the 16-foot hole at the Pentagon, and certainly all stinks to high heaven. But the media likes to focus on that because you can't prove it one way or the other, and we can debate it forever. Mm-hmm. I focus in on things like Operation Northwoods, which you can read at the Library of Congress or just type it into Google. Operation Northwoods is the official U.S. government plan to bomb D.C., to hijack jets by remote control and crash them, to kill Marines at bases and blame it on the Soviets. That's ABC News, Baltimore Sun, and we have the actual document. They even talk about how to frame patsies in there. So see, the media, when I had the BBC, horrible creatures that they are, here with me for 2 days following me around this weekend, I kept going, can I please talk about Northwoods? Can I please talk about public officials warned not to fly? Can I please talk about hard evidence? No, no, no. They did not. They would not. And I said, and at the end I said, you're not going to put any of that in there. And they laughed and said, no, we're not. And I said, wait a minute. All you want to do is talk about weird conspiracy theories that I can't prove one way or the other. And I got so mad. It's incredible. They will not play on a level playing field.
Well, you know what will happen, don't you, Alex? They will make you out to be some kind of raving nutcase when the... I'll be interested to see that. They'll probably have you portrayed as some sort of fool. It'll be interesting. I'll let you know.
Well, you know what? They swore to me it wasn't, but I think in their own little twisted logic, they don't think it's...
The BBC, you should have asked me first. Thank you, Simon. We've got to move on. Ali on the M1 wants to know if you can get Terror Storm on DVD.
Well, I didn't want to get up here and plug it
of course
it,
not.
Because, frankly, I don't need any money. But the point is, yes... you can buy a DVD and we'll ship it out to you UPS so you'll get it. We had to quit using the U.S. Postal Service because they can't get anything out of the country for some reason. But we have no problem shipping it to you. They're horrible. We use UPS or DHL if you choose, and we will ship it right to you in England. It comes out to about 10 pounds. No, I guess about 8 pounds. It's $19.95 to get Terror Storm. The film is 2 hours long. The extras are 60 minutes long. So it's over 3 hours long on one DVD available at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. You're authorized to make all the copies you want. It's copyright free. We are here to get the truth out about this situation. Believe me, if this wasn't going on, I would be on my family ranch right now surveying the cattle and a few pretty oil wells we've got. I would not be doing this. I'm risking my life and doing all of this, not for money, but to get the truth out. But if you want a DVD, they're available at Infowars.com.
Okay. 08-704-2020-20. We will take a break, and then we'll come back. Alex, don't go away. We're with Alex Jones in the conspiracy field at this moment. Carol Bragg, Alex, has sent me a text here. She says, James, could you please ask Alex if he has heard of Common Purpose and what role the EU is playing in the New World Order?
Well, the good news is European expansion, as you know, got shot down last year. It's totally tyrannical. People who argue for world government, the American, the European, the Asian Union, all
well, it might have got shot down to you, Alex. We're about to get invaded by another few million people from former Eastern European countries.
No, I know. I mean, I'm not saying it's totally shot down, but I said EU expansion has been shot down. American Union expansion got in trouble when Hugo Chavez said no last year. Yes, and people that argue for global government or regional government, they have to understand that they say, well, that's just the next stage. You know, we were hunter-gatherers, and we were in civilizations and city-states and then nations, and now global. This global system is run by a bunch of private global corporations that are taking our national sovereignty, our cultures, and destroying them and getting rid of our basic tenets of freedom. That's the problem. This global government they're setting up is totally tyrannical.
Okay.
So, yes, I've heard all about the EU and EU expansion and what's happening with it, and it's absolutely horrible, and you've got to not give up the pound. You've got to say no to this system. You've got to throw out all the politicians to try to get rid of your sovereignty. I mean, I've seen British polls where 78% of people are against the EU, then you should have nothing to do with it.
Right. Okay. We won't be getting rid of the pound, don't worry. Mind you, the euro may take over from the dollar, but that's another story.
That's the whole plan. It's just pathetic.
Now, listen to this, okay? And I want you to listen to this carefully. Frankie has sent me an email. He says, "Hi, James and Alex. I just want to express my fears about the whole thing I'm hearing. I'm only 15. We shouldn't be listening, Alex. Sorry, Frankie, you know that. And I'm scared that I could die because of this whole mess of the government. Firstly, I want to tell you two, I think you're doing a great job. I've watched the movie Terror Storm, and I shall spread the word also. Finally, what can I do to help?" Now, it's a guy of 15. He's obviously quite frightened about this, and I do get concerned about kids who may be listening. I remember when I was about 15, 16, and we were in Vietnam, I was convinced I was going to be called up any moment.
Well, he should be a lot more scared about this than Vietnam. This is real. This is criminals.
But that's going to make him sleep.
Running, well, he should be. He shouldn't sleep. I mean, that's a normal response. That's what fear's for. Gets you out of trouble. It's to get you moving. And I'm concerned. I'm upset. Listen, our good countries have been hijacked by criminals, and they're using us as engines of global domination. And young man, Frankie, get Terror Storm. You've got the address. It's free. Forward it to everybody you know. Burn it onto DVD. Give it to everybody you know. Expose who's staging the terror to take your freedoms, to capture your nation, to use you as a slave of the New World Order.
Okay, here's another question. Interesting one. This James from Glasgow emails us. He said, "Please ask Alec why FEMA and the government..." FEMA, of course, is the
Federal Emergency Management Agency.
That's just what I was going to say. Took so long in acting over Katrina for the poor people of Louisiana in their biggest picture. In a bigger picture involved love, your work as well, Alex. Okay, go on.
Oh, I can totally document that. Up on PrisonPlanet.com, we have a one-year remembrance analysis page. I've interviewed the sheriff. I've interviewed the mayor. I've interviewed the police chiefs. I've interviewed the emergency management chiefs in the state. Let me tell you exactly what happened with the levees, okay? Back in the flood in the 20s, they blew the levees to flood the poor part. In the 60s, they did it again. That's why people think they blew the levees this time. And police are on record seeing the explosion, hearing the explosion, seeing them break the levees. But all of that aside, we've got to shift our paradigms and stop thinking about things from a perspective of being good people. And that doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means we're not out and out evil, out doing bad things. We have to put ourselves in the mindset of the people that are carrying all this out. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, even though it looked like they screwed up with what happened 1 year and 2 days ago in New Orleans, actually did a great job according to their real operation, their real plan. When they screwed up so badly, they then roughly have had their funding more than quadrupled to the tune of over $112 billion. Now they're going to get another $100-plus billion. Bush gets to give it to all of his friends. It's no-bid contracts yet again. Halliburton is in there. They bring in illegal aliens from Mexico. The mayor's complained about this, who were totally taking over the city. They're doing all the construction, and then Halliburton turns around and doesn't even pay them minimum wage. So let's look at what happened then. The Defense Department and FEMA as Hurricane Katrina came in 368 days ago when it was coming in, a day before it hit, there's a reason all the New Orleans police left their jobs. It is on record that FEMA and the Defense Department jammed all police radio communications from before the storm hit, a day before, until it went through. Then...
And what was their excuse for doing that, Alex?
Listen, they don't give one. Listen, I haven't told you anything yet. I've interviewed the police who had to have other police sit there with machine guns pointed at FEMA. FEMA came in and cut down with big metal buzzsaws and with trucks, bulldozers, knocked down radio towers 5 days in, destroying all police communications. Just type in FEMA sabotage relief effort. They hundreds of thousands of firemen, police, and volunteers from all over Texas and everywhere in Florida were very patriotic, you know, great gung-ho people. They all showed up to help. FEMA wouldn't let them in, and Bob Richard's own head emergency manager sat there and took orders for 5 days not to go in and save anybody, and his own mother died. You can go watch the video clip right now. They talk about it. Died in a nursing home without anyone being able to come in and help them. The Coast Guard came with fuel and water and everything, and they wouldn't take it. They had to have it be as bad as possible so FEMA could then claim they didn't have any funds and needed more money. See, when they screw up in Iraq, they get to stay longer and make a $200 billion no-bid contracts a year. If they'd have got Iraq fixed and back up, they'd have to leave. You see, it's order out of chaos. Create a crisis and then get more power out of the crisis.
Okay. Alex, what will the consequences and result for us that survive this World War III be that we are currently in the early stages of? Will it be like Nazi Germany on a global scale?
Yes.
Danny in Potter's Bar.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But let me be clear. They were going to go into Iran. They're still Israel saying they're going to strike Iran. We can stop this. We can say no. If they know we're not going to go along with it, and they attack Iran, and they declare a national draft, and they say line up to go kill those Central Asians, we have to say no. And when the terror attack takes place, we have to go, you carried out all the other attacks. You had the motive for the terror attack. Even if you don't believe the story that the government carried it out, the attack on Iran would elicit a response of an attack. This war is not good for us. We don't see terrorists attacking China or attacking Africa or attacking Venezuela. You know, even if you believe the official story of terrorists, why are we under attack? We're under attack because we're an empire, but not just an empire. The people aren't part of this empire. The empire sucks off us to fund this empire. It's got to stop.
Okay, let's take some calls. If you just joined us tonight, wonder what's going on, this is Alex Jones. Alex, of course, has his own radio program in America. He produces movies. He has been for how many years now, Alex? 14?
Yeah, I've been involved on the air as a guest for 14, on air for 12.
Okay, trying to expose what really is going on. Alex wants us to know who really is pulling the strings on this planet.
Yeah, I want
and
the
who really has the power.
Yes, I want the murderers to be brought to justice, and that's why I put out my most expensive film, best film I've ever made, Terror Storm, absolutely free. And, folks, this isn't cruddy internet video. We uploaded this beautifully to Google Video. The only problem is everybody else uploaded it with bad, fuzzy copies, so it's like the fourth or fifth link. It'll say high quality. That's the one you want to watch for free at Google Video, Terror Storm, the high-quality version.
Okay, and you can get that for free. Alex isn't trying to make any money out of you. You can download it for free, and he says you can copy it as many times as you like, and you can give it to as many people as you like. Right, let's take some calls. Kev in Newcastle. Hi, Kev, you're on the air through to Alex Jones.
Hello there, I've just got a quick question for Alex.
Let's hear it then, Kev, come on.
Right, well, basically, I think Blair and Bush have this Christian propaganda about Armageddon, and I believe that the two of them want to create Armageddon because of their religious beliefs.
I agree with you so far, but finish your question and let me try to answer it.
Well, basically, I think the two of them want to create an Armageddon against, Islam, and they want to create an Armageddon to set the West against the Islamic population.
Yeah, they call it a class of civilizations.
Yeah, because the two of them, I totally believe that them two believe in, like, all the bollocks from the Bible, and they want to create this Armageddon.
Let me try to respond to that, if I may, sir. That's a big question. Okay. Can I respond to that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Number one, you're right in saying that they are using Christians to get their aims across, but I assure you, George Bush and Tony Blair are not Christians. I mean, my gosh, Tony Blair's involved in every New Age quackery, you know, on the planet. Every time he's in Central America, he's, but everybody knows about that. The point is that they are using evangelical Christians, and I myself am a Christian, but not this type of Christian, evangelical Christians who are into this and are saying, praise God, let's nuke all the Arabs, let's start World War III, Jesus will come back. It's total insanity. And so the neocons and the Bush and Blair administrations are manipulating and using them. And yes, you're absolutely right to that. But if you believe these men really believe that stuff, then you're wrong.
Okay. Thank you for that. Let's go to Steve in Birmingham. Steve, you're on the air through to Alex Jones.
Hello.
Go on then. Let's see what you're going
to
say.
First of all, just like to congratulate you. I've seen all of your DVDs and I think they're all bang on.
Thank you, sir.
Right to the point. But there was a couple of things I'd just like to ask your opinion, just because you seem probably a bit more educated than most of us on these sort of subjects. First of all, the AIDS in Africa. Do you believe this can be, this is man-made and
there's no doubt we have the official documents. We have the purchase order, over $100 million from the mid-1970s, 1976, to develop an autoimmune virus to be used in third world population reduction. We know there's a Malthusian social Darwin operation going on. And anyone who trusts the government and their vaccines is totally insane. I believe vaccines could be a good medical preventative. The problem is it's what governments have been caught adding to vaccines.
Yeah, but do you believe it could be used population controlled against our own public?
I don't believe it, sir. I've the next film I'm producing that I've already traveled to Canada and other countries to make is on that, and we have their own words, sir. We have them saying it.
Yeah, I'm really glad. I'm glad that you're bringing it up because I feel like on a global scale, this country, South America, the whole continent of Africa, which have been crippled.
All right.
By these sort of governments.
Well, I mean, this is something that's been in mainstream newspapers.
Well, it's biological terrorism.
All right, Stevie, thanks for that. Listen, we're running out of time. I want to get some more stuff in. This is good. John, I've been racing through the emails to try and find some dissenting voices, and there aren't very many of them, let me tell you. But this one, John from Dumfries says, this is sarcasm, by the way, Alex, all right?
Sure.
Okay. He says, maybe your guest thinks the RAF bombed London during the Blitz. This is disgusting. Stop it now.
No, I don't think the RAF bombed London. They did a great job against Hitler, who was quite evil. But, yes, sir, it is true that British and U.S. banks did actually fund Hitler and were a big fan of him until he got out of control. And if you don't know that, you don't know history. And George W. Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, was actually taken into custody and indicted, but then it was dropped for being the main Nazi banker in the United States for Fritz Thyssen.
Okay.
My film, Martial Law, by the way, is on that.
Okay. There are loads of films that Alex has made. You just have to check out his website, but he will tell us that Terror Storm is the best one, of course.
Well, Martial Law is for free, too. You can find Martial Law for free on Google Video. But, yeah, if you want DVDs, they're available at Infowars.com, too.
That's why I like having you on here, of course, because you give us things for free. I would like to congratulate TalkSport. You have managed to get the biggest idiot from Great Britain together on air with the biggest idiot from America. Well done from Jim in Doncaster. Thank you, Jim. Nice to know that we're entertaining somebody.
But notice, James, they can't debate any of the facts. They can build strongman attacks, make fun of us, call us names. Hey, brother, I love you, whoever wrote that. I wish you weren't so willfully ignorant. Believe me, I'm up late at night wishing this wasn't true. I got a lot of better stuff, like water skiing and fishing and barbecuing and beer drinking. I'd rather be doing. I don't like having to do this, boy.
Listen to this one. Shut the cranky Yankee up. His waffle is frightening me.
Well, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, the waffle's a sort of toast thing out there, isn't it?
The cranky Yankee. I like that. That's good.
Well, you know what? All us Yankees come from where you guys are at, so I guess you're bad, too.
Mark in Harlow. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Alex, brilliant stuff. Love your films, and I'd recommend Terror Storm to everybody. I just want to plug a little event, if I may. We belong to UK 9/11 forum. It's called www.911.co.uk.
Yeah, I've seen it. Good site.
Great, Alex. Thanks. We've got a major event going on next weekend, Saturday, 9th of September. Shayla's going to be there, and a major author who Alex knows, David Ray Griffin.
Yeah, he plugged it last hour.
About this. One last point about conspiracy theories. Dictionary definition of conspiracy is more than one person taking part in an event, okay? So that makes everything a government does a conspiracy, good or bad. So, you know, it's just a moniker, it's just an epithet that people...
Yeah, that's right. It's a psychological...
Okay?
Yeah, sure. It's a psychological salve to not have to face the reality and just, you know, go quietly into the night. Some of us aren't going quietly into the night. And exactly, I mean, there are millions of charges a year in the U.S. for conspiracy. Conspiracy is two people getting together to conspire to do something.
Absolutely. Just to prove that, and that's my final point. Ask people in the street, ask your friends, ask your family, how many buildings come down on 9/11? Most of them who are ill-informed will say two.
Well, I don't think they would, actually, Mark.
Seven buildings came down on 9/11. It's taken 5 years.
Mark, I think that's a little wrong. I think that's belittling the public, quite frankly. Of course they know more than just two.
Well, I'm not kissing up to the British, and I know they're dumbed down compared to what they used to be, but compared to people in the U.S., and I say this on my own show, either the people are very informed or they're total idiots. Most Americans don't even know who the vice president is in polls. They don't know where Iraq is.
That's a worry.
They know?
That
oh,
is
my
a
God.
Worry. It's Iraq, by the way. Right. One last thing, Alex, because we're running out of time. I've got a lot of people emailing me tonight saying, I've got to ask you about Molac and Bohemian Grove.
Sure.
But quickly.
Sure, I always heard about the government and officials being involved in weird rituals. We all know about Skull and Bones now. And I'm the man, the only man, to sneak in and get footage of the ritual. I'd heard that these
world leaders... I saw you on TV doing that. I saw that movie.
And we snuck in there and we got the footage. And
they waggle their willies at each other, don't they?
It's a bunch of old conservative men rolling around naked, pleasuring each other. Yeah. And they're totally rich and totally corrupt, and it's true. These people are totally insane.
John Ronson, do you remember we had him on?
John Ronson actually went along and interviewed us about that.
Yeah.
Listen, Alex, I've got to leave you there. It's been amazing, as always, and if we both survive over the next couple of weeks and we're still walking and talking, come and join me again in 4 to 6 weeks' time, huh?
Please, don't make it so long. I'm usually on about twice a year. I'll come on anytime you want, James, and to your producer, cheers, and to everybody over in the UK, we love you. God bless. Let's defeat the New World Order and go to Google Video and download Terror Storm for free.
Thank you very much indeed, Alex Jones. I was going to say the exact same thing, Infowars.com, but he did it for me. Mr. Collins is here.
I can't help. I've had Alex on a few times.
Let's waggle our willies.
I can't help.
Come on.
I like Alex Jones in the same way as I like Jackie Mason and Bill Hicks, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's that kind of like, and Alex, like a lot of these guys, he will trouser the corporate coffer, the Hollywood coffer, if you like. Mm. You know, he's part of that system, he's been in a couple of films, he does very well out of it, and this is the way he earns his living. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but,
and it's very interesting to listen to. You know, I might even go to Google and download his terror cartoons.
Let me be clear.
Alex! Hey, how you doing, Alex?
Hey, let me say something to that.
Yes.
This is not how I make my money,
yeah.
but it's okay
you don't wash cars for a living, Alex, do you? I mean, you appear on shows like this and make a few quid out of it. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not paying. You make a few quid spouting your government BS, then, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what BS am I spouting?
Well, he is a tool of the government. Yes, he is a socialist.
I'm a Murdoch puppet.
I've been on your show before.
Yeah. You've been on loads of times, Alex.
Sure, I like you. Listen, I'm just teasing you back.
The point is,
you go on the air and you get paid for your views, sir.
That's right.
I'm risking my life to do this.
You're not risking it. Like, they love you.
Hey, I'm not going to make my money back on this film I made. I mean, obviously, I've got to make a living, but what's wrong with me making a living telling the truth?
I reckon George Bush loves you, Alex.
No, George Bush does not love me. I've actually met George Bush. My sister went to school with his daughters.
I think we need a bit of everybody in this system.
Alex, thank you very much indeed. We'll talk soon. Mr. Collins, of course, has to have a period of re-evaluation.
And rest.
And re-education.
And rest.
But he will... No, you're not having any rest. You're taking over now, of course, to, as Alex quite rightly said, spout some more...
Your government BS, man.
Government BS.
And
Well, I am a big fan. Anybody that listens to me will know
I'm
a big
Blair fan.
I think he's great.
Yeah.
And everything he stands for. I can't wait for Gordon Brown to come along because he's even better.
I think, you know, that's the good thing about radio. You see, we can have these differences.
Yeah, we can.
We don't resort to sort of fisticuffs or anything like that. We can have these differences.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's good for debate. It's excellent for debate.
Don't come too near me when you say that, James.
I'm not coming anywhere near. I'm sitting here. I don't know why you want to act the whole time.
Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry, that just slipped. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
I can't control that sometimes.
Next time, use your hands.
Hey. Ian, I'm so sorry about that, mate. I'm so sorry about that.
What's fallen out? It looks like a piece of your brain.
Let me just wipe that blood away from your mouth. Hang on.
I haven't got the blood wiping.
That's right.